Yes, when you walk with our Heavenly Father and He begins to work in your life, He changes us into something beautiful. And that's only because He imputes His righteousness to us. Without Him, I just hate to think what I would be without Him. Perhaps I would be like all of those wicked men out there that are looking for license from other gods, and they worship images and idols so that they can continue in their sin, because they cannot accept the fact that His Word does not give them license to love pleasure more than they love the things of our Creator. They love the creation more than the Creator. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're in Jeremiah chapter 12. I'm going to pick up here, back here, in verse 14. I think that'll be, "Thus saith Yahuwah, against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of the land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them." So what he's talking about here, I think we need to even back up a little bit more, because this is the judgment that Judah is going to be dispersed into the other nations, specifically Babylon in this case. But now he's talking about he's going to pluck the house of Judah from among them. "And it shall come to pass that after I pluck them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and I will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land." And as we know, this happened. Daniel foretold it, and so did Jeremiah. After the 70-year captivity, some men of Judah were returned to the land and to their heritage, and the temple and the city was rebuilt. And he says here, "And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, Yahuwah liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord." And what we have here is we have a picture of what's going to happen. There are going to be those that will swear by the name of Yahuwah rather than swear by the name of Baal. And he says they will be built in the midst of my people. Interesting phrase there. "But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith Yahuwah," saith the Lord. So what's going on here? I believe this is a picture of what happened in the land, of course, at the time of the Messiah. You had those that would swear by his name, "The Lord liveth, Yahuwah liveth, they shall be built in the midst of my people." Okay, so those are the obedient. What I see is here is a dichotomy, a separation, a distinction between those who are obedient in verse 16 and those who are disobedient in verse 70. "But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith Yahuwah," saith the Lord. Well, that's what happened. In Daniel's 70th week, the Messiah came on the scene. In the middle of the week, he was cut off. And for 3.5 more years, the gospel was delivered to the nation Israel. They were given a time to do what? "Built up in the midst of my people." Who? The obedient. "Then shall they be built up in the midst of my people." So in the midst of Israel, there were going to be these people that were obedient, and they would be built up. And then the disobedient would be utterly plucked, in verse 17, would be utterly plucked up and destroyed. And that is exactly what happened in Israel. Because they were given a grace period before the destruction of Jerusalem, even though it was determined in Jerusalem, in Israel, in Judah specifically, they were given a grace period between the times that were determined when it ended for Israel, that time determined the end of the 70th week, And after that, the gospel went to the Gentiles. The gospel was, and the gospels and the epistles were written in the language of the nations. There was still a time, another, well, how many years? Another 30 years or so between that time and 70 AD that they had to work in Israel. And then the Messiah warned them to flee. So you had the righteous that fled, the obedient. And there is the distinction between the obedient and the disobedient. The disobedient were destroyed, they were taken captive, and they became historically known as Jews. And the posterity of the disobedient continued in the religion of the disobedient, and that was in the religion of Judaism and Talmudism and Babylonian Talmudism. And that's what they followed. So they are the posterity of the disobedient. But what happened to all the obedient and their posterity? Yes, there were obedient Israelites. There were obedient Hebrew people. See, a lot of people say, well, the chosen people are Jews. No, they are not. Wouldn't the chosen, why would the Heavenly Father abandon the obedient and keep the disobedient? He warned the obedient that the time was coming, just like he can warn us to get out of the way when trouble comes. And I believe he will warn us. He warned them to flee. He said, when you see these things, when you see the abomination that maketh desolate, when you see Jerusalem compassed about by armies, flee. Same thing happened in Jeremiah's time. That was the abomination that maketh desolate, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That was the only other abomination that desolated Jerusalem and the temple. It's the only thing they had to look back to. And that was coming again. It was going to happen in 70 AD. He didn't tell them when it was going to happen. But the obedient heard the word of the Messiah, because they were looking for the Messiah. They understood the prophecies. They understood that the 70 weeks was up. They were looking for the Messiah. We have found him. We have found the Messiah. Why did they find him? Because they were looking for him. They understood the times. They counted the years. They saw Daniel's prophecies unfold literally in history. So we're not to, in this idolatry of those that call themselves Jews and saying that they're God's chosen people, they are not. The time for Israel, the time for national Israel, ended after the 70 weeks. We're determined for thy people Israel. We're not to worship these people. Then you got all the fakers out there today in this so-called Gentile messianic movement. These Gentiles who found out that now they're Jews, that they had a revelation from God, and the Spirit told them that they were Jews, so they changed their name to Jewish sounding names. They don't have a genealogy. There's no way they can know unless they came out of a Jewish family, perhaps. Maybe. Or did they come out of a Khazaric Jewish family? How can they know? They can't know. They only assume, but they say it's true. See? I don't know. I could be my blood, but see, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Don't follow these fakers. And they get a whole bunch of, you know, Gentiles to follow them because they're Jewish, and somehow it's better to be Jewish because you're one of the chosen people, and they hold it up, they hold them up, and we have this idolatry and this Jew worship thing going on. No, Jews are just men like us. And if they're not grafted in through the Messiah, they're condemned. They aren't God's chosen people. The Heavenly Father, Yahuwah's chosen people, are those who have entered his kingdom through the Messiah. They're washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. They are his chosen people. Flesh and blood. Your genealogy can't save you. You're not better off because you're a blood Jew. And anyone who holds themselves up as some kind of teacher, as something, as someone that other men should follow because they're Jewishness, is deceived. And they're deceiving others. Don't get off into that. Chapter 13. We'll move on here to chapter 13 of Jeremiah. Thus saith Yahuwah unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle, according to the word of Yahuwah, and put it on my loins. And the word of Yahuwah came unto me the second time, saying, Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, and go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as Yahuwah commanded me. And it came to pass, after many days, that Yahuwah, the Lord, said to me, Arise, go to the Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, which I commanded thee to hide there. Then I went to Euphrates, and digged, and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it, and behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Thus saith Yahuwah, After this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as a girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith Yahuwah, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear. Therefore thou shalt speak unto them this word, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, Do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, Thus saith Yahuwah, Behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the father and the sons together, saith Yahuwah, I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye, and give ear. Be not proud, for Yahuwah the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to Yahuwah your God, before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, He turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because Yahuwah's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, Humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it, and shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee? Thy beautiful flock. What will you say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, as chief over thee. Shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? And if thou shalt say in thy heart, Wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard change his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Therefore will I scatter them as stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. And this is thy lot, the portion of thy measure from me, saith Yahuwah, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thine adulteries and thy neighings, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thy abomination on the hills of the fields. Woe to thee, O Jerusalem, Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? Chapter 14 and verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads, because the ground is chafed, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field, and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild ass did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fall, because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name, leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto his people, thus they have loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore Yahuwah doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity, and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. It will be too late. It will be too late. The time is coming. It came for Jerusalem, and it certainly will come to this land. You see how the people are just totally turned away and wicked. There seems to be no hope for America as a nation turning back to God. They have gone astray way too long. When? How long has it been? It's been a long time. I fear there's no hope unless there is a great purging, unless great tribulation comes upon this land. And it will come, and it will turn some back to righteousness, and it will destroy many, but it will come. Just start practicing righteousness now. Cry out to him for mercy, and perhaps you can learn righteousness. He says, when they fast, I will not hear their cry. Yes, you know, a lot of people, when the tribulation comes to this land, when the destruction and the desolation comes, however it comes, whoever it comes by, whatever sword he brings against this land, you'll see people that are going to suddenly change. Oh, they practice wickedness as long as they're free to, and they'll practice evil. But when it's not expedient, when the sword comes, when the famine comes, they're going to cry out. They're going to say, oh, can we make a sacrifice? Oh, can we do good now? Oh, Father, we'll do whatever you want. But he knows that the minute that they have ease, they will turn right back to their wickedness, because they love that more than they love righteousness. So it was in the land of Judah at this time. So it was. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. Yeah, they're saying that, aren't they? Oh, it won't come here. It won't come here. Yep, not in this land. Not in America. We've never seen it. It can't happen here. Well, if it can happen anywhere, it can happen here too. So don't say it can't come. And if someone tells you it can't come, well, he says that they will be consumed by it. It will come upon them. I'm saying it can come. He says, By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed who say it can't come. So perhaps he can lead us to a safe place. And I'm praying, you know, Father, if you don't want me here, if you don't want me where I'm at, if it's not going to be a safe place, lead me to a safe place in plenty of time to get there so that the righteous can stand through whatever may come. We may have a great purging in this land. Righteousness may yet come to America, but it's not going to come without a high cost. I don't see any other way. Came with a high cost to Judah, carried away captive. Some were, went to a place of safety. Some were carried away captive to come back. But most of them were destroyed by the sword of his indignation, the sword of his anger. Yes, the hand of the heathen, the weapon of the enemies of Israel was the sword of Yahuwah of hosts. Yes, those heathen hosts were his, are his, to do his bidding at his command. And because they delight in it, he turns around and punishes them. He truly is Yahuwah of hosts. He is in control. Always has been and always will be. No matter, come what may, you can trust in him. He is faithful. Not to do your will and not to give you what you think you need. Yes, because what you may really need is martyrdom. What you may really need is to be punished. You may need trials and tribulation, but what does it do to you? Do you become more righteous? Are you tried like fine gold, like pure silver? Or do you love your pollution so that you're consumed with it? And it says, the prophet continues here, and I guess this is where we're going to have to pick up next time because I have just run out of time. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website, crosstheborder.org. Like to hear from you. Send me an email. And tell your friends. When you go to church, tell them about crosstheborder.org. We'll see you next time. And as always, in everything you do, hallelujah.